Well, thanks everybody for coming. It's going to be hard to follow all that up because that was some really neat talks from both these guys, some really interesting tools that can cover a broad range of things. I'm focusing on one really simple thing, which is soil hydraulic properties. So it's an area that I really enjoy talking about because that's what I spent most of my time in graduate school studying, the effects of land use and landscape position and those effects on soil hydraulic properties. And it's nice that I've gotten to continue that on a little bit throughout my professional career. So today I'm actually going to talk about comparing the automated dual head analysis approach from a single ring infiltrometer with the more traditional double ring infiltrometer, which I'm sure a lot of you guys are really familiar with. I'd like to actually acknowledge first one of my co-authors, Emily Campbell. She's actually an undergrad student at Brigham Young University. She is, of course, the daughter of Galen Campbell, granddaughter of Galen Campbell, daughter of Colin Campbell. And she's been great to work with. She's worked with us for many years, and so she comes back in the summer and does work for us. So, first, I'm going to talk about saturated hydraulic conductivity. Everybody knows what saturated hydraulic conductivity is. It's the ability of a porous medium to transmit water under saturated or nearly saturated conditions. But there are a ton of things that affect saturated hydraulic conductivity. Of course, you have soil texture. That's one of the main pieces, but that's not the main, soil texture alone can't tell you what your hydraulic conductivity is going to be. You have to look at the how well structured that soil is, how well connected the pores, the tortuosity of the pores, the effects of organic matter. All of these things, there are a ton of things that affect soil hydraulic conductivity. So it would be nice if we could very easily predict soil hydraulic conductivity using pedotransfer functions and be accurate all the time, but that's not the case because there are so many things that affect this measurement. So I always like to show this graph right here. This kind of just is a really simplified look at soil hydraulic conductivity. So what we have here are three different soil types. We have a well-structured clay soil, structureless sandy soil, and a poorly structured clay soil. And as you would expect, the poorly structured clay soil is going to have a much lower saturated hydraulic conductivity than that of a sandy soil. But if you have a well-structured clay soil with strong macropores really strong structure, you're going to have a much higher hydraulic conductivity at saturation. Why is it important to measure hydraulic conductivity? Of course, we use that measurement for hydrologic modeling. We also use it to help make decisions about irrigation control, to prevent runoff, and those types of things. Another common application of this is landfill cover performance, making sure that we're not infiltrating too much water into our landfills. And a newer application of this type of measurement is stormwater system design. So when people are going out, when geotechnical engineers are going out and trying to design in systems that are designed to infiltrate lots of water, they first come out and measure the hydraulic conductivity of the native soil and then the hydraulic conductivity of the newly constructed soil that's designed to infiltrate more water, and also to look at that performance over time. Another thing I put up here is soil health, which I've seen brought up twice now. And what we found is that soil hydraulic conductivity is actually a strong indicator of soil health as well. So what exactly is soil health? The NRCS defines it as the continued capacity of a soil to function as a vital living ecosystem that sustains plants, animals, and humans. And we have a lot of soil quality indicators that tell us about soil health. We have the physical properties, chemical properties, and biological properties. And I think you guys talked a lot about measuring especially the chemical properties and some of the physical properties. Infiltration is another one of those physical properties that can help us understand how healthy a soil truly is. So some of the things that, the factors that affect soil hydraulic conductivity, including soil structure, soil texture, clay mineralogy, soil structure, and crop and land management practices can all tie to soil health. So the better job we do of managing lands, increasing organic matter, increasing soil structure, and those components that help hold soils together, that'll help us understand the how our management practices are affecting soil health. And so looking at changes in hydraulic conductivity across different land uses or over time can help us better understand how these management practices are affecting soil health. So, essentially, improved land management should, in theory, help improve or increase hydraulic conductivity or infiltration rates. So, I'm going to talk about a few basic methods for measuring infiltration. One of the first methods, and these methods have been around for a very long time, of course, is infiltrating water using a single ring infiltrometer. Essentially, what you have is a single measuring cylinder, like you see in this diagram here. And you can have a Marriott cylinder to do a constant head method. You can also use the falling head approach. They just have different ways of analyzing the values to get hydraulic conductivity afterwards. You can have rings that range in diameters from 10 all the way up to 50 centimeters. I don't know if you guys have ever tried carrying a 50 centimeter ring through the field. It can be a pain. But the great thing about these bigger rings is it helps you quantify spatial variability a little bit better, or encompass the spatial variability a little bit better, because just like anything else that we've learned about today, all of these properties are highly spatially variable. Now, one of the issues with infiltrating water from a single ring infiltrometer is we have three-dimensional flow. So when the water goes into the soil, it's not just going down vertically, it's also getting pulled out horizontally due to the sorptivity of the soil and its ability to suck the water out in three directions. So when we're looking at KFS, it's a one-dimensional value, so we have to somehow correct for that three-dimensional flow. So traditionally what we do is use an alpha parameter, which it tells it is the soil macroscopic capillary length factor, and that helps us, it's related to the sorptivity, so that's what we use to kind of correct for three-dimensional flow. Now, typically what people do is when they're trying to estimate that alpha value, they have a lookup table that says, okay, I've got soil type A or soil type B, and this is kind of what its structure is, and so then they use that alpha value. Now, if they pick the wrong alpha value, then their hydraulic conductivity estimates can be way off, including as much as tenfold off. And so it can have a major impact if you use the wrong alpha value to correct for three-dimensional flow and calculate KFS. Another method that was brought about is this: the double ring infiltrometer. So essentially you have your single inner ring that's for doing the actual infiltration measurement, and then your larger outer ring that's a buffer cylinder to help buffer the three-dimensional flow from the inner ring. The intention of that outer ring is to buffer and prevent flow divergence from the inner ring, but there's a lot of literature that shows that doesn't work very well. So again, you wind up running into issues with potentially underestimating or overestimating your hydraulic conductivity. So just kind of sum those two methods up. Using ring infiltrometers, they have a lot of advantages. You can use large rings to encompass more spatial variability. This helps us better represent field conditions and have a better understanding of those the true field conditions and the true field hydraulic conductivity rather than just from a small spot. The disadvantages of these methods is they're really time consuming. So if you're making a measurement in a really dry soil and you're trying to reach steady state, it may take up to 2.5-3 hours to reach steady state. And so it can be a really time-consuming measurement, and if you have a manual method, that means somebody sitting there for 2.5 to 3 hours watching the measurement happen. There are ways to make these things automated, but oftentimes they still require a lot of babysitting. Both methods require an estimation of that alpha value that tells us about the soil properties to help correct for three-dimensional flow, and the double ring infiltrometer with that buffer cylinder has been found to not be effective at correcting for three-dimensional flow. So again, it's still, there are problems with those methods. So a method that we developed and came out with a couple years ago is actually nothing novel. I mean, this approach, the multiple fonded head analysis approach, has been in the literature for decades. And I think one of the main reasons people haven't used this approach is it's rather complicated and kind of time-consuming to do. But essentially what we do is we infiltrate water at two different pressure heads, and we can use the infiltration rate at the two different pressure heads to estimate sorptivity and then automatically do our correction for three-dimensional flow. So this is a simplified look at that calculation. So you have KFS equals the difference in the infiltration rate at your lower and higher pressure head divided by the lower and higher pressure heads. So essentially, we can use that to automatically do our corrections for three-dimensional flow. Now, traditional methods of doing this, you would add more water to increase your pressure head and measure at those different pressure heads. But the issue with adding more water is that can take quite a bit longer, especially in low infiltration rate soils, for that water level to drop back down if you wanted to cycle between the different pressure heads. So what we actually do is we'd maintain a constant water level, and so you can see a diagram of the instrument there. We maintain a constant water level inside the infiltrometer, and we actually use air pressure instead to simulate the different hydrostatic pressures. And so that just helps speed up the measurement and make it a little bit easier to control. It also helps kind of reduce the amount of water that we use and make the measurement a little bit easier. Because when we used to do this with the double ring infiltrometer, we'd come out in the field with a trailer with a 500-gallon water tank. And that's not really practical when you're trying to do measurements in forested lands or areas that are hard to get to, which a lot of people do, because this measurement's also really useful in looking at post-forest fire effects on the soil properties, because one of the biggest issues after a forest fire is not just that you've burned a forest, is the soil's become extremely hydrophobic, and so we have a huge issue with flooding and due to the low permeability of these soils. So we have a lot of people, I don't know if you guys are aware, but in the Pacific Northwest, we probably had one of the worst wildfire seasons this last year, and so they're having to go out and make all these measurements because there's a big risk after this of flooding events. So here's what a typical data set looks like from this type of infiltrometer. So you can see when your initial infiltration rates are higher, and we're running at a lower pressure head, and it's slowly dropping down. We increase our pressure head, and we get an increase in the infiltration rate, and then we drop it back down. So we actually just cycle back and forth until we reach steady state. And so you can see we have our steady state near the end here at about 85 to 115 minutes. So what we do is we take the average infiltration rate from our high pressure head, the average infiltration rate from our low pressure head, and we use that to do our KFS calculations. So one of the things that we wanted to do, and this is there's already quite a few people doing this, but one of the things we wanted to do was compare this approach with the double ring approach. And so that was what Emily worked on over a summer for us, was making these measurements and doing this comparison for us. So she had a smaller double ring infiltrometer that was fairly similar in size to the ring of the Cetro infiltrometer. And she went out and made several measurements in our soccer field. So the soil type in Pullman, the most common soil type is a palouse silt loam. That's what the soil type is on our soccer field. She had seven measurement locations where she came out and made measurements in triplicate at each location with both instruments. And we took the average infiltration rates for all of those points. So here you can look at the comparison here from the seven different locations with the two different methods. And so in this first column, you have the measurements from the double ring infiltrometer at the different locations. And it was quite variable across different points in the field. That's to be expected because we have a ton of worm activity in the Palouse. So we have areas where we're going to have a ton of macropores, and some areas where maybe we may not have some of those macropores present. You have the Cetro data in the second column, and then in the third column, we're looking at the change or the difference between the two measurement methods. And overall, they were fairly close, usually within 1 to 2 centimeters per hour. Some were slightly off of that. But there was one spot, or there were two spots, where they were significantly different. So if you look at SF3 and SF4, the measurements from the double ring infiltrometer were 1.23 centimeters per hour and 1.49 centimeters per hour. And the measurement methods, the measurements from this other, from the Cetro infiltrometer, were 62 to 44 centimeters per hour. So we had a huge difference in those two spots. And so we started trying to figure out, okay, why did we have such a big difference between these points? And essentially our conclusion is that one of the things we know about this site is that this site was excavated to make a flat field. I don't know if anybody's been to Pullman, probably not. There is not flat land in Pullman. It's all rolling hills, it's beautiful soil, it's beautiful windblown lush, and it's really easy to work in. But these two points were in the area where we excavated out. So it was actually lower organic matter soil. It was weaker soil, essentially. And with the double ring infiltrometer, so you have two rings that you're having to drive into the ground. So essentially you have more energy that it takes to drive the infiltrometer into the ground. And with the single ring infiltrometer, you have just one single sharp blade that you can drive in. And you could tell the difference it took to drive the two different instruments into the ground. And so our theory there is that the amount of force that it took to drive the double ring infiltrometer into the soil there destroyed any of the structure that was present. And so, you know, that's a concern with that approach, is that there's the potential of damaging some of that structure. So that's what our theory is there, because we've taken probably 60 different measurements across that area, and we found that typically the infiltration rates range anywhere from 30 up to 70 centimeters an hour across that area. And it's because of the worm activity. We have a lot. There is still a decent amount of structure, but that there is a ton of worm activity in the pollutes, which creates a lot of macropores. So this is just looking at those results on a one-to-one line. So again, they're usually compared quite well, except in those two locations. So, in conclusion, when comparing these two methods, the double ring infiltrometer measurements compared fairly good with the dual head or the multiple ponded head analysis approach. And this is consistent in the literature. The only place that we didn't see this to be the case in cases where flows were dominated by large macropores and potentially a friable soil. And the forces required to install the double ring infiltrometer likely collapse those larger macropores, bringing down the infiltration rates. So that's actually all I have for you guys today. I appreciate your time. If there are any questions, I'm willing to take them.